This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. As the curtain falls on another season of superhero blockbusters, Hollywood is already hard at work rebooting Batman, Captain America, and the Fantastic Four franchises. More than 60 high-profile superhero films have been released since the surprise success of X-Men back in the year 2000. Joe Hansen points us to a more enduring source of awe-inspiring acts: nature. Hansen is a biologist who writes and hosts the PBS video series It's Okay to Be Smart. In a recent video, he details some real-world abilities that rival the magical powers found in comic books and fiction.
The animal world is full of inspiration when it comes to awesome abilities, and many of nature's superpowers put their comic counterparts to shame. So strap on your utility belts and behold, the Avengers of Evolution.
Joe, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
Thanks a lot for having me.
So the character Cyclops has his optical lasers and Spider-Man can shoot web bullets. What sort of impressive arsenal does nature have against bad guys? Or in their case, just regular old predators?
Well, there's a ton. I mean, we feel, you know, comic books, we feel like they're fiction, but you look at a power in a comic book, chances are you can find it in nature. Take like that dragon millipede. It's this beautiful pink millipede. Pink's a kind of a danger color in nature. It can shoot these clouds of almond-smelling cyanide gas, which should be kind of familiar to anybody who's read Love in the Time of Cholera. You've got electric eels that can discharge, you know, hundreds of volts of electricity, and not quite enough to kill a person, but definitely enough to kill a little fish. Geckos that can climb walls like Spider-Man. You know, we think of them climbing with like little suction cups, but they've got these tiny hairs that are so small that the atoms are actually sticking to each other using these atomic interactions called van der Waals interactions. I mean, they're climbing with atoms. It's amazing. I think my favorite is the pistol shrimp. The pistol shrimp has this big claw that it can snap shut so fast that it can create this bubble called a cavitation bubble that is as hot as the surface of the sun. I mean, we're talking like 5,000 degrees.
So I imagine that when you're studying these kind of creatures, you study how they evolved with these, what, abilities? What do we call them? Skills? Gifts?
I would call it a skill, a superpower. That's what I call it. These do evolve, and these aren't magical powers. That's what's so awesome about them. You take like this one, like the bombardier beetle. These are those beetles that shoot this caustic solution out of their backside when they get a little frightened. And this just seems like magical chemistry. It's hydrogen peroxide. It's boiling. It's over 100 degrees Celsius. But, you know, you can follow this back, and it's kind of just like a stink bug that went another step farther. So they're not magic, but they are super.
All right, so let's dig into some of these superpowers, creatures who don't have to rely on weapons to actually win a battle. There are some of those creatures that you describe, the Hulk-like qualities of raw super strength.
Yeah, so you got like take fleas. If I was a flea, I could jump so far that I could hit a quarter mile in a single hop. A little frightening up at the top, maybe. But you got dung beetles. These are amazing little creatures. They're pulling the equivalent of a human tugging six buses behind them. And not only are they pushing these enormous, well, they're balls of dung. They can navigate these things by the light of the Milky Way. They actually use the stars like sailors to get these back to their little burrows.
For those that may not win by shows of might, it's deception and sometimes theatricality that becomes their tools. Tell us about some of the ways that animals hide or disguise themselves.
Sometimes the best way is not to be seen at all. So you got these master camouflage animals, like take the cuttlefish. This is a relative of, you know, like the octopus and a squid. These can use these complex camouflage patterns. You can put this thing in front of a very elaborate sofa, and it would probably be able to match like maybe a paisley or something like that. They've got these specialized organs called chromatophores in their skins. They're these pigment pockets that they can open and close to kind of break up their outlines. And they're colorblind, so it's not like they can even see what they're matching the same way that we can. It's really amazing. Deep, deep in the ocean, if you were to pull some of these creatures out, you'd find a lot of them were red, and this is because not a lot of red light gets down to the deep parts of the ocean. So anything that we would call red is reflecting red light at the surface, but there's just no red light down there, and that's the same as being invisible.
So you're talking about some seemingly magical powers, but let's compare them to actual superheroes. Look at Flash. Are there creatures that take the cake for super speed?
Yeah, we've got a few. So Let's start with the air. I think the fastest things that we can find on Earth are in the air. You take the peregrine falcon in a steep dive when it's after, say, a pigeon or a small bird. They hit 250 miles an hour. I mean, that's as fast as some of our airplanes. You go to the ocean, we've got the black marlin. I mean, this is a masterfully hydrodynamic sort of rocket ship in the water, but it's a fish, and it can hit 80 miles per hour. Now, on land, of course, everybody knows the cheetah. And cheetahs, although they only do it for short distances, can hit 60 miles an hour. I mean, it's your car. I mean, think about a big cat running that fast. Mm. They actually spend more time in the air at full speed than they do on the ground.
Another great favorite, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. He will have been in 7 films as of next summer. I mean, that's something we think of as animal-like claws. How does Wolverine's regenerative capability and deadly claws echo powers in nature?
Well, there's plenty of animals who can sing as well as Hugh Jackman, I think. But there's also some that have these superpowers, too.
But can they dance?
Yeah, we'll see about the dancing, right? There's an axolotl salamander. This is this white cave-dwelling salamander with these beautiful red frilly gill organs. And it can actually regenerate entire limbs. And everybody who's chased a lizard in the yard has probably ended up with a tail in their hand and watched. Those can regenerate as well. And they do that by taking adult cells and they revert them into sort of a stem cell state. And they'll regrow that entire limb based on the genetic programming that lives inside of all of those cells. Then you've got this weird little frog called a hairy frog, and this little guy can actually break the bones in his hands and eject them right out as claws, just like Wolverine does. That sounds like a really painful self-defense mechanism, but it's definitely used as a last resort. You got these guys called tardigrades. These are water bears, famous little things that we've put up into space. In the vacuum of space, they've survived. They can survive radiation that would be like being strapped to the hood of a spaceship on the way to Mars.
Well, Joe, you're a biologist. What goes on for you watching, you know, sort of cartoons and animals turned from something that they are in nature to something that we may project upon them?
Yeah, it's important to remember that these are animals and they're not people. But any way that we can get people connected with these amazing stories of evolution, you know, that's just so great. And if it's through a comic book, if that makes somebody go look at a jellyfish or a squid that's doing camouflage or this frog with claws like Wolverine, maybe they'll find a science story in there. And I think that's a win for everyone.
Do you have a favorite superpower, a wished for superpower, Joe?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I'm fascinated by the platypus, which I think is the weirdest animal on Earth. And it was actually, when they brought the first one back to the British Museum, they thought it was a prank. They thought it was a duck sewed onto a beaver. But this thing can actually see with electroreception. And I'm just fascinated by these animals that can see beyond the sensory range that we're even aware of. This platypus can actually use an electrical field around it to see the world. And yeah, that just blows my mind when I'm walking around on the street to imagine all of the information and all of the world out there that I can't experience, but yet there's something else on Earth that has evolved to see it, and that's just awesome.
A superpower, no cape necessary, with a platypus from Joe Hansen. Joe, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Joe Hansen is a biologist who writes and hosts the PBS video series, It's Okay to Be Smart. You can watch his Animal Superpowers episode at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Not all animals have the superpowers that we just heard about, unless you count the mighty instinct to stay alive as a superpower. Producer Liz Wasson brings us the story of a few species that will do whatever it takes to keep themselves and their loved ones alive.
Love.
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 Love is delicious.
Love is delicious.
And it comes in 3 flavors.
Friendship.
Romance.
Family.
Friendship. Vampire bats share blood meals with friends. Vampire bats eat blood and only blood. But some nights, a vampire bat has bum luck, hunts for blood, and fails. And this is a big deal because a vampire bat can go without food for only about 2 days before it starves to death. So it begs. It asks other bats in the roost to share the blood that they ate. Now, if this hungry bat is a good friend. In other words, if this bat is known to be generous, if it shares its own meals when other bats in the roost have come home hungry, reduced to begging, then it gets a favor. A friend reciprocates, regurgitates its own dinner into the hungry bat's mouth. These bats live by the familiar philosophy, you scratch my back, I'll vomit blood into your mouth. Meanwhile, in the deep sea, romance, a male anglerfish shows his desire for a lady by sinking his teeth in her body. The male is teeny tiny, and he lives in a vast, deep, dark ocean. It's rare for anyone in the ocean to meet anyone at all because the ocean is so big and he is so, so small. His loneliness, the emptiness, it's intolerable. So the tiny anglerfish uses giant nostrils to smell for ladies in the murky darkness. Ooh, and if he finds one, he bites her hard, and he does not let go. Their bodies literally fuse together, and the couple becomes a single body for the rest of their lives. From then on, any food the female hunts, she shares, because all nutrients flow to both of them by their connected bloodstream. Family. The love between parent and child often involves poop. A mother gives the gift of poop to her baby elephant. Mom's feces make a healthy snack, actually, for the baby. It's not the poop the baby's eating, really. It's the microbes in the poop. The baby's born without microbes in its belly at all, which is a problem. Microbes are essential to eat and digest grass. But a wise, wonderful elephant mother has a developed digestive system, microbes included. And through poop, parents pass important microbes from generation to generation. In this way, little elephant babies can eat grass, grow, make friends, find romance, and feed poop to their own babies. Love is disgusting. Delicious. Love is disgusting.
That was producer Liz Wasson with her short audio documentary called Love is Sweet Among Non-Human Animals.